Devil's Knowing.
All right, man. Welcome to Crow 777 Radio. This is hour one of episode 569. Jason Lindgren is with me and Dr. Group returns. We had a lot of requests to have Dr. Group back. Rose submitted a lot of things that we wanted to get into. Anyhow, welcome, Jason.
And good morning.
We are getting our first snow of the year here today, at least the first snow that matters. Hopefully we'll get through before the wind picks up, but let's do what we can here. Welcome, Dr. Group.
Hey, thanks, guys, for having me on. And thanks to all the listeners out there, too, that gave us such good responses and comments from the last show. I'm super excited about being on. Let's have the best show ever.
Perfect. Why don't you tell folks where they can find you and your work, and we'll jump in.
Yeah, you can find me on YouTube, even though I'm pretty heavily censored there under Dr. Group. So it's not like really what's happening behind the scenes in the world and the exposure and the what they call conspiracy theories, but we know is actually truth. But you can find me on Telegram, where we go into a little bit deeper scenarios of what's happening, as well as my school, which is the globalhealinginstitute.org, where you can learn about and take courses about how to enhance your immune system, activate your self-healing mechanism. And then our manufacturing facility and our products are at globalhealing.com.
All right. You know, I would just add, people should totally get what social media is for at this point. YouTube is nothing like what it once was. And the censorship there is atrocious. And, you know, anyone who goes to my YouTube channel can see what I do. I simply steer people to this platform so we can speak intelligently without being censored. But why don't we jump in on current events, Dr. Group?
Yeah. So for the current events right now, I think 2024 is a vital year for the transformational process, for the Great Awakening. I mean, I think we're at the beginning stages of the Great Awakening. From 2021, myself and many of the doctors and researchers out there, Dr. Judy Mikovits and Dr. Lee Merritt and Dr. Rich Orley and David Wolf and the researchers, some which were on the COVID task force with me, some that were not. But I've seen just a huge collaboration happen in our industry in 2023. We started studying the transhumanism agenda, I did at least in 2016, when Klaus Schwab and everybody came out and said, you know, this is what we want. We're going to get rid of all the useless eaters. And this is the transhumanism agenda. And, you know, that was all planned. The whole pandemic was planned. And they had coordinated that with a big kind of almost a test run with creating what I call bioweapon shots, because that's what they really were and are to this day. And that has led us to where we are today. And I think our research team has identified and been looking at what are the vectors that they're using. And I think it's really confusing for people now, because people are watching all these live online events, and they're going to all these seminars, and they're going to these big conventions. And I included, I've been speaking at some of these conventions, and there's 20 or 30 doctors there or 40 doctors there. And every doctor comes up on stage and says, spike protein this and spike protein that and spike protein this and spike protein that. And that's all people have heard is about this spike protein situation. And then every doctor comes up there and has a whole list of different supplements or whatever to attack that. Last year, we put on a conference called Healing for the Ages, and for the first time, we actually revealed the truth about what's going on and the vectors that they're using, for example. And I think it's important to understand, especially now, that they are using multiple different attack mechanisms. And I'm not saying this to create fear in anybody, because there's actually so much good that's happening with this Great Awakening. But I also feel like people should be educated about what is currently going on and the vectors that they're using, so they can prepare themselves and we can give solutions to them on how they can protect themselves and how they can get by these next couple years during this transition of the Great Awakening process. So what we really identified as the main thing that they're using, I would say, if I was to outline it, the metals in the body, the inorganic minerals in the body, and the parasites in the body. What we discovered was that, and a lot of people don't know this actually, is that about 96% of the cells in your body are non-human, and only about 6%, 7% of the cells in your body are human cells. And so what they've been doing, and we've been digging up documentation going back to the early 90s, et cetera, is they've been weaponizing mostly bacteria and yeast inside your body. And they're using the bacteria and the yeast, and let's just say parasites in general. A parasite defined would be any organism, whether it's synthetic, genetically modified, or natural, that causes harm to the system. And that can be bacteria, yeast, mold, fungus, worms. Like we're seeing all kinds of worms that are being modified, like ropeworms and pinworms and tapeworms, et cetera. Flukes, for example, that are hanging out in your liver and in your bowel. These are all organisms that are taking and stealing your nutrients from you, and then they're going to the bathroom inside your system. However, it's extremely easy to manipulate the DNA. And for example, even in a worm, you might have inside of the worm, you're going to have tons of bacteria. You're going to have tons of yeast or fungus. And Royal Raymond Rife, by the way, in the 1930s and 40s, when he had that light microscope, he was able to identify a lot of different organisms there. And he was the one that termed the terminology pleomorphism. Pleomorphism, what he noticed was when a bacteria got really stressed out or felt threatened, it literally changed into a yeast. And when the yeast got threatened, it changed back to a bacteria. So as we're digging up all of these documents and trying to unravel what this transhumanism agenda is and how they're attacking us or how they're trying to convert us into like a half human, half cyborg, it wasn't making sense because we were looking at the normal cells, the human cells, which are actually a lot harder to manipulate and control than the yeast and the bacteria and the E. coli and the toxoplasmas. And everybody pretty much is invaded with massive amounts of yeast and bacteria and harmful organisms or parasites, which, by the way, they purposely got people addicted to more and more sugar from really around the 1960s when they started those campaigns, as well as alcohol and gluten, which all actually convert to sugar and feed these organisms. And if you remember, during the pandemic, most people consumed 3 to 4 times more sugar and 3 to 4 times more alcohol because they were just sitting around doing nothing. So how does that come into play with what we're doing here? Well, if you look at the human genome has about 22,000 protein coding genes. The bacteria and the organisms, the fungus and the bacterial genes in the body have about 8 million protein coding genes. So we're talking about human cells, 22,000, bacterial genes, 8 million. So do you think that they're really going to try to attack and alter the DNA and attack the human cells? Or do you think that they're going to go after all the parasites and if all the bacteria and all the fungus and the yeast? This was a big discovery that our research team presented for the first time in 2023 that nobody was out there talking about. So it's extremely important. Going back to Rife, by the way, Rife was developing, and his whole mission, and the reason I know that is because I was on the Rife research team in the 90s. I was the one that was given all of the material and lab manuals and everything handwritten by Royal Raymond Rife that wasn't confiscated from his laboratory. And Rife only had really roughly around 40 frequencies. And his frequencies and his mission was to kill the parasites or the destructive organisms. And he actually said that all cancer that he was testing was what he claimed was the BX virus, but was a fungus, or that viruses were really foreign proteins. And he was looking at destroying or disabling all those with destructive frequencies. Now, Rife's work has now, people have really, like nowadays, they have Rife machines and they have these big manuals with like 1,000 different frequencies of like, oh, this is the Rife frequency to boost your immune system. This is the Rife frequency for your lymphatic drainage. This is the Rife frequency for your sinuses. All that is a bunch of BS because Rife never did any of that stuff. All he was focusing on was parasites. If you look back in my history with all of the research that we've done in cancer and degenerative diseases and all of the doctors we've interviewed over the years, as far as what is the root cause of all disease and the root cause of cancer, the root cause of everything, whether it's symptoms you're suffering from, whether it's cancer, heart disease, is all caused by a toxic external environment. And that means, you know, the toxins in your home, what you're cooking with, the personal care products, the air fresheners, the carpet releasing VOCs, the memory foam mattress you're sleeping on. I mean, there's so many toxins and chemicals in people's homes. The mold is probably in the air, especially if you live down south. And external toxins can also be people. It can be what you're watching on TV. It can be many different things. And the internal environment is actually anything you put inside of yourself or that grows inside of yourself, such as bacteria and yeast and parasites, et cetera. But most of the doctors, including myself, that have been doing extensive research and teaching people how to reactivate their body's self-healing mechanism and get rid of every single condition that they may suffer from, is extremely important. And we all agree that probably 90% of all conditions and symptoms that anyone is suffering from is parasitical related, which is huge, because we have the documents that show the work that Big Pharma has been doing and the DOD has been doing and the Department of Defense and DARPA, for example, that they've been using and weaponizing all of these different types of bacteria and parasites and everything else. That's what they're using to produce these spike glycoproteins in your body and then tear your body down. So number one thing I would recommend to everybody, and I'll kind of go through some of these different vectors. One other thing I'll add, this is super important for everybody to understand, that you have to get the parasites out of your body. You have to get all these weaponized worms, fungus, bacteria, et cetera. And I'll give some solutions that we're finding for that. But another very interesting subject and another vector that they're using to control these microorganisms in your body is the EMFs, the radio frequencies, the extremely low frequencies, the 5G, 3G, 4G, which was put into play and upgraded during Operation Warp Speed, if everybody remembers that. You always have to look at what the government's doing, and what they put out in the media is usually a diversion for what they're really doing behind the scenes. So they had all us looking at, oh, Operation Warp Speed. Oh my gosh, we're going to give everybody these shots. We're going to save the world. But in reality, what they were doing was, with everybody locked down, is they were upgrading all the 5G towers, which are actually not 5G towers. They're actually directed energy weapons, DEWs. That's what they were really doing. They were upgrading all these to where they could put out radio frequencies, ultrasound frequencies, LRAD frequencies, 3G, 4G, 5G, even potentially up to 10G. I haven't got confirmation on that yet, but it is a potential possibility, and extremely low frequencies, as well as updating the HARP system, which the HARP system is a extremely low frequency system, which can penetrate through brick buildings and penetrate through anything. And so it's almost just as dangerous for the body to be exposed to extremely low frequencies as it is to extremely high frequencies like 60 gigahertz or more.
Doctor, did you see anything heavier going on in New York City during the fake pandemic that was worse than anywhere else that would account for a lot of the weird things that were being reported at that time?
We should tell him what we saw. Let's describe to the doctor what we saw, Jason. So we were aware that this was a psychological operation and a physical operation as COVID broke. I marked the day as 3/11, but one of the first things that we saw, we got contacted by people in New York specifically. There were a couple other big cities, Chicago, but mostly New York. And the first thing, people were getting very sick. They had respiratory problems. And there was this everyone losing their smell, sense of smell attached to it. And this created real division because it was pretty clear that COVID, the entirety of what was being called COVID was a manufactured thing. And yet people on the ground were seeing people die. So I think it's important that we put all that on the table because those are the reports we got as we were reporting that COVID was a put up.
What we've realized by analyzing the data is that this was a big experiment, basically. So we don't have 100% proof, because I think only one that knows what really went on is the deep government organizations, which probably even the most of the people in government have no clue. This is a small group of of individuals that are working probably underground or in bunkers that were actually more in control of this. But the way that we kind of analyzed what happened during the pandemic was it was a show, but it was also they were testing different frequencies in different cities. They were also testing different types of shots because some shots had a purple cap, some had a red cap, some had different caps. We know that some of the shots were actually saline. So when you put all those things together and the different frequencies that they were putting out through all the different towers and spraying in the air, and we even have a lot of evidence to show that they were putting stuff in the water supply, the air through chemtrails, potentially even the food supply and the frequency. So they were doing lots of testing and different types of testing in different cities from around the United States, from what we can tell. As a matter of fact, you can create the exact same symptoms of COVID just with electromagnetic radiation. You can have the same exact thing happen to you. You can cut off the oxygen with different types of 5G. We also know that Verizon and all of the web companies out there have upgraded the in-house routers. Most people don't even know this, but your router, if you have a standard router from a telecommunications company, it already has 5G capabilities and more built into the router itself. I know that if you can actually see it in Comcast, we had an individual that was reading through the 20 pages of the document that you have to sign. And it was like right in there. You know, we can turn on the 5G in your house whenever we want. And she went through like days of trying to contact somebody at Comcast and say, I don't want this 5G. How do I turn it off? And finally, they went through a whole process to get it turned off. So we have to also understand that directed energy weapons are everywhere. The cell phone towers are directed energy weapons. The phones that you have are directed energy weapons. All of the smart devices now, like the Philips light bulbs, which are smart, these are all ways to gather and transmit data, whether it's good or whether it's bad, but most of it's bad. And that's also why the LED lights, see, the blue lights actually can stimulate and hold certain frequencies more to cause more damage in the body and accelerate the destruction of things. And that's why Biden last year came out and banned incandescent lighting. And that's why they're trying to ban nicotine right now, because nicotine will release these toxins in these chemicals that we're being exposed to from the alpha 7 nicotinic receptor sites and all the alpha nicotinic receptor sites in the body.
If that doesn't tell you where we are in life, when nicotine becomes a benefit, you know?
Well, the thing is, you know, tobacco is not a dangerous plant. It's actually one of the most medicinal plants in the world. If you look at the history of it, in the tombs even, and in the ancient relics that they find buried, they always find cannabis, they find honey, they find wine, and they find tobacco, and they find aloe a lot too. These were the core staple plants for healing. Tobacco is one of the most powerful healing plants on the planet. It's just that it's been abused. I did a study in the early 2000s on tobacco, and the conclusion of our study was that tobacco never caused lung cancer ever. As a matter of fact, it's very beneficial to take in small amounts a couple times a week. It's really great for your system. It was when we analyzed I'm not going to say the name of the company, but let's just say a red and white packet of cigarettes. When we analyzed the tobacco, it came back, the lab test came back with over 630 carcinogenic chemicals. So what happened was Harvard actually did a study on, is nicotine addictive? And that study was buried because the Harvard study, and it was just released, I think, last year from the Freedom of Information Act. And Harvard did this study back in, I don't know when it was, but I think the 60s or something like that. They did a study for the tobacco companies to see if nicotine was addictive. The end of the study, the report said nicotine is not addictive. So at that point in time was when the tobacco companies started looking for some sort of chemical they could spray on the tobacco to make it addictive. And they did. I can't remember the name of the chemical right now, but I could find that for you later. But they did find the chemical And they started spraying it on the tobacco. And that's what made tobacco addictive. And not only did they spray that on there, but they sprayed 600 other chemicals on there. It was since that time that people, you know, of course, if you're breathing in 600 and something toxic chemicals that cause cancer, of course you're going to get cancer and you're going to get lip cancer if you're sucking on tobacco. But it's very important to let the listeners know, organic, natural tobacco that's grown the proper way is not toxic and it's not bad for you. And neither is nicotine addictive in any way, shape, or form. Only if you're getting or smoking tobacco from big companies.
Our mutual friend David Avocado Wolf was growing it at his place in Texas. We actually went to go visit him. Rose and I did. He was cutting it up and making his own cigarettes out of it. We actually went over tobacco with him in episode 462.
But do you know how far back in time that they started doing this? Like, was it the 20th century, or were they doing this even as far back as the 19th century?
Before you answer, Doctor, there's actually a movie called The Insider. I believe it's with Russell Crowe. I think it's 2 years before 9/11, if I'm not mistaken, because it was the end of the millennium, maybe 99. One of the stories is about an insider who sees what they're doing with tobacco and he wants to out them. And the reason that I'm telling this tale is to back up what a big issue you're talking about right now, because what they did was they broke the Unabomber story to take the media off the tobacco company, which was going to be outed the very morning they broke the Unabomber story. But anyhow, I think it's critical to get that in because the very story you're telling is portrayed within the movie called The Insider.
Great. I mean, yes, you guys know David Wolf is a really good friend of mine. You know, I just spent like a week with him in Noni Land a couple weeks ago, and we're really big proponents of tobacco. And I can tell you that one of the mechanisms of action that you got, well, first of all, you guys are 100% right when you talked about different cities experiencing different things. And they were just gathering data during this first pandemic. After we're reviewing all this, what we're really realizing is this was a huge experiment. It was a huge worldwide experiment. They were using humanity as test subjects, and they were gathering data on what's going to happen. They were gathering data on emotions, on divorces, on how many people were getting the bioweapon shot, how many people were affected in geographical areas around cell phone towers they were targeting. They were really pushing frequencies out stronger around assisted living places or where people over 70 or 80 were living. There were a lot of experiments going on during this first thing. What we're realizing is they just use this to try to refine everything that they're doing. So what we've identified as all the different things they were using was they were using lots of fear. They were seeing how many people would roll over and put a mask on and do exactly what they wanted them to do. Now we know that parasites was the major thing that they were really trying to initiate and activate. We have the studies on what happens when you expose bacteria to 5G to frequencies, what happens when you expose fungus to 5G and frequencies, what happens when you expose mold. And thank goodness for Dr. Brian Artis, and he came out with, everybody thought he was crazy when he was talking about the venom aspect of what they were putting, what we feel they were putting in the water and how they were creating these plasmids to get inside this bacteria, get inside this yeast and start creating venomous spike glycoproteins, which if you look at a picture of a venomous spike glycoprotein, it looks exactly like that little ball with spikes on it that everybody was calling COVID.
Those ideas have to this day caused so much division. I still see it. We covered those ideas.
Yeah, well, you know, in the beginning times, it caused lots of division, including myself. I was like, what? Venoms? And so I'm a researcher. I'm a scientist. And when I talk about something or somebody else talks about something, I want to see the research behind it. I want to see the proof behind it. And it took me a year. I was trying to disprove his venom theory. And it took me a year of pulling up the documents and then more stuff coming in to understand why they were doing that. I couldn't understand why in the world are they using snakes? Well, that goes back to David Icke and David Icke's research and the reptilians. And basically, if you look at the pull up the Time magazine 1999 cover, it literally says in the next decade, we're going to advance genetic engineering. And it has a snake wrapped into a DNA. And so they've been telling us they're going to do it. And the more research that I went in to try to disprove the Venom theory, the more I actually found that it was true. And I even pulled a video up of a guy that was filmed a video in a 1,200-year-old temple. And the video he's talking about, were they trying to warn us about genetic engineering? He goes through the whole temple with his camera. And he like there's signs everywhere engraved into the rock inside the temple of genetic engineering. It shows pictures of like a cell, and then it has a snake next to it. And the snake is like going into the cell, and there's statues of a human and a snake hybrid. And, you know, he's like, are they trying to warn us about genetic engineering in the future? So we kind of know that genetic engineering has been going on since the beginning of time. But my question was, and look, I mean, it's undeniable now. I mean, you have Dr. Chetty, who's a medical doctor over in India. He's been identifying all kinds of venoms.
So wait a minute. Let me jump in here, doctor. I'm sorry, but I want to ask a few questions about this, because the division that this created is still echoing into our forums. Is there a definitive test that has been done that has demonstrated that the venoms are present?
Many tests that have been done, and I can send you a whole document with all the research, all the testing, everything. There were studies. All right. There were studies done in France in 2020. Gene sequencing of two spike proteins on the SARS-CoV-2 were published in France in 2020 to be king cobra, cobra toxin venom peptide, and bungarotoxin crate venom peptide. The study also showed that nicotine and ivermectin both protected against these venomous spike proteins. There are so many studies and so much information coming out. I'll be happy to send all that to everybody out there to just understand that, look, don't believe me. Like, do your own research. That's the way my philosophy is. That's what I did. I dove into it for a year. And I put together a whole research document because I knew that people were going to be challenging me as well, just like they challenged me on urine therapy and everything else. But I've been a research scientist for 30 years. Like, I'm not going to come out and speak about something if I don't have 100% proof that it's going on and what they're doing.
So if you'll send that to Rose, we'll post that out so people can get at it in the comments section when we put this. But what you're saying has been very interesting to me. Of all the people you're going to meet in your life, you're not going to meet too many people that know more about snakes than I do. And that might not be a totally fair statement because of the number of years I've been away from them. But when I was growing up, snakes were a very big part, even to the point where my father, who was a college professor, took me in to meet, I think his name was Dr. Hunsicker, if I remember correctly, who was the head of the herpetology department at SDSU. He'd injected himself with certain venoms. One of them was Western Red Diamondback. And what he had done is made himself immune to certain venoms. The reason I'm bringing this up is I know the guy you're talking about that goes into the ancient Indian temples. What doesn't get covered as much is the historical, I don't even know what to call it, the spiritual ideas that are associated with a thing called a naga, which is a snake. Now, these are related specifically to the king cobra. And I can tell you from firsthand experience that there is something very, very different about the king cobra. And so I think it's important to put these ideas out just so people can look into it and get an idea. But there is a history of the idea of nagas and particularly king cobras going back beyond the recesses of time, which seems to be related to what we're talking about here.
You know what's funny about that statement you just made is that when I was a kid, I wanted to be a herpetologist. And at one point, I had 86 snakes in my room.
Like me. I drove my mother crazy. she drew the line at venomous snakes, but I even managed to get around that for a short while until I thought better of it.
Yeah, me too. I had a water moccasin that I caught with my bare hands one day. Yeah. The creek, like, and that's what I would do in the summer. I would go snake hunting every day, and you know, sometimes I would get a speckled king snake, which was like the cream of the crop. But
where did you grow up?
In Louisiana.
Oh wow! So you had the southern snake. So you had the bad attitude vipers, the cottonmouth and the copperhead. I had rattlesnakes, and people, you know, I don't think people really comprehend snakes because it's mostly fear that is associated with them. But they are very unique and very different. And I don't know if you ever saw, what was the guy's name who got killed by the stingray?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he came, Steve something. He came out to where I grew up to catch rattlesnakes, and I could see it in him. He could detect the attitude of the particular snake to sense how far he could go with that snake. But I guess in the long run, look what happened to him.
Yeah. Unfortunately. Yeah. I remember that, but I'll give you one more example real fast. That University of Pittsburgh actually tested the respiratory fluid from 8 patients who died from severe COVID in Italy. And this is a published study. And they found that the SARS-CoV-2 spike protein contains synthetically recreated cobra venom, crate venom, rabies virus, and HIV glycoprotein 120. So there's no doubt, like even the studies that Dr. Chetty has been doing over in India and taking stool samples with people that have been exposed to COVID-19 or especially people that have been injected, he's finding, and this is all published research, he's finding 36 different venoms that he's published that he's found in stool samples. So people might ask, why? Why, this is what I asked. Why? Why are they using venoms? Okay. This was a big question to me. Number one, the snake mRNA is very resistant to heat and it doesn't break down. It's very easy to mess around with. It's very easy to create changes in DNA with. Regular mRNA will degrade in sunlight or heat, or it's very unstable. The snake, on the other hand, is very stable. So that takes us to, you know, the transhumanism agenda that Klaus Schwab talks about all the time in the World Economic Forum and how they want to get rid of all the useless eaters and reduce the population down to 500 million. And they want to create, and by the way, this goes into deep, deep, deep technology that they've been doing since 1995, creating the Internet of Bodies, the Medical Body Area Network, the Wide Body Area Network. I mean, this level of control with the Magneto studies, just like X-Men, basically, they've done studies with Magneto studies with being able to completely control the human being. Well, they did it on zebrafish and they did it on other things, but to be able to completely control the organism. They can control the thoughts, they can control the movement, they can control everything by tapping into your area network, which is actually your largest organ, is your biofield or your aura. We think the largest organ is the skin, but if you look back in ancient days, in ancient Tibet, and you look at the, you know, the spiritual teachers, and you look at the basic anatomy charts, which have been wiped out in history, the Tartarian age, the Atlantean age, Always the biofield and the aura was the largest organ. And that's what you need to keep the strongest. And that's why they did some Qigong and they did all these breathing exercises and they do meditation and they always strengthen their aura every single day because the body is nothing more than energy and vibration, just like Tesla and Einstein said. But the question I had was, why are they, you know, yes, I've seen all the evidence. I've got all the documents. I've got all the studies. Why are they doing with snakes? Well, I mean, look, snakes have been around forever, and it's like there's something about it that is resistant. It's just easy for these scientists because they're and these evil people that are running the world. They've already, you know, been working with snakes and all doing all kinds of evil
stuff. There's a spiritual connection. I think we should cut to the chase. In ancient Eastern religions, there is an absolute parallel and incorporation of the reptile idea, specifically nagas, specifically snakes, very specifically cobras. And this goes back beyond our ability to see through history. But it also is related up into the more modern ideas like the Kundalini energies and these things. It even shows up in our misappropriated medical system where the snake is shown in the caduceus. The caduceus has nothing to do with medicine. It should have been a different symbol, but we've covered that. But I think we should be completely forthwith with pointing out that there is an absolute spiritual connection here.
100%. 100%. There's a spiritual connection to all the stuff that we're talking about because that's who we are. We're spiritual beings and we're really here to become enlightened beings, in my opinion. And all of the things I'm talking about today are nothing more than ways to reduce your vibration, to reduce your spiritual progression, to reduce your enlightenment, to reduce your awareness of who you really are.
Agreed.
To hide from you how to access the kingdom of heaven within. So all of these things are nothing more than just diversions away from you understanding who you really are and your spiritual path. They distract you. They poison you. They keep your attention outside of yourself. I mean, these are all ways to basically reduce your spiritual growth. But I started, you know, looking at, okay, so doing the research. Okay, so what is he talking about when he talks about transhumanism? Oh my gosh, I pulled up so much research. You can pull up so much research on transhumanism and the agenda and the connections to DARPA and the connections to these governments and the connections to the microchips and all the nanobots and the quantum dots and all this stuff and all the research that they've been doing on this since the 90s. It is incredible if you just look for it and you search for it. And I'd be happy to share all that research with your listeners too, so they can dive into the nanotech and all the stuff that they're trying to do. But here's where it really clicked for me, because I still couldn't figure out the link with the why they're using the venoms and why they're producing these spike proteins and why they're putting all that in the water and the amount. I mean, if you look at the trail of the big pharma buying up these venom companies, and they're producing synthetic venoms as well. Until I said, well, let me just start from a transhumanism, like what they want to create. Let me just start from that and work my way backwards. So I took all their research and I was like, okay, if they're able to do this, basically they're going to create a half human, half cyborg, which they talk about doing, and that's completely controlled by them. Their thoughts are controlled. They can create a heart attack in them if they want to. This is all published, by the way, in all of the documents that I have. They can put suicidal thoughts in their head. They can basically put love into their body. They can do anything by tapping into their area network, their wide body area network. And so I was like, well, but that doesn't make sense to me, because if you have a transhumanism cyborg, like what they want to create, it's impossible to control, because the amount of frequencies that they would need to hit into the body, like with 5G, for example, or higher frequencies than that, would kill the human DNA. It would cause double strand breaks. I mean, there's already studies that 5G causes DNA double strand breaks of the human DNA. That's already published research. So I was like, how in the world this doesn't make sense. How are they going to accomplish this agenda? And by using all these hardcore frequencies, if our bodies can't even handle it, I mean, basically they're just, everybody's going to die. There's not going to be anyone left. And that's when I started looking at, you know, and I was comparing Brian Artis's research on the venoms, and I started looking at just out of the blue, I was like, can snakes handle high levels of radiation? And sure enough, I made the link that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to strengthen the DNA to be able to withstand the frequencies. And that's why they're using the snakes and trying to alter our DNA and all the parasite DNA in the body. Because ultimately it's the parasites, which they can control them, they can control you. It's really kind of crazy if you think about it, because it's like almost exactly like a zombie. It's like the zombie apocalypse the CDC put out and all that stuff. It's like eerily similar to that.
These ideas are going to create division, I can tell. But so you've seen research that states snakes can take high levels of radiation. I would not have guessed that. I would have thought that it messed with, well, it depends on the kind of snake, like a pit viper. Seems to me like a pit viper would not tolerate that kind of thing.
I have everything, and I'll be happy to send it to you guys too, because the more information people have to read through and to understand, the more they're going to, you know, this sounds way out, and it's been a super far out journey for me since 2016, unraveling all this stuff, to the point where sometimes I've even gone into like a deep depression and saying there's no hope for like 3 or 4 weeks. But then I go into my deep meditation and I realize that this is actually all a good thing. I mean, it's not good that they're using this, but it's a very powerful time in history. And I feel like we're all here for one reason, is to help humanity. And I don't think they're going to succeed. I'm telling you guys this just so you have a general understanding of what their plan is. But I don't honestly think they're going to succeed with it, because people are waking up tremendously fast. And the remote viewers that I've talked to and everybody else that's kind of looked and has predicted the future, they see really good things in the future. However, we are going to go through a few years of a lot of pain and trauma and suffering.
And death.
that's what everybody goes through to create positive change. You can either, you're either going to transform with pain, trauma, and suffering, or you're going to die with pain, trauma, and suffering. Cancer patient gets cancer, is in a state of fear, goes to the medical system. The medical system, they're in pain, trauma, and suffering, and they end up dying because part of the disease or part of the pain, trauma, and suffering is for you to understand and come back to yourself, to wake up, to become awakened, to become enlightened. The people I've interviewed that have conquered their own cancer through natural methods, they say the cancer was the best thing that ever happened to them. It transformed their life. And so that's exactly what's happening in society right now and around the world, is that everybody's going through their own level of pain and trauma and suffering. But if you're not waking up, because there's three levels of vibration and energy, and really it comes down to light, your body, the scalar waves that your DNA produce are photons of light. And so you have the darkness, okay? In darkness, pitch black, there's no light. And so there's a certain level of souls right now that are in that range or that frequency of darkness. Those are the ones that are watching CNN all day long, the ones that are just will never wake up. They've given themselves up to the evil and they believe it so deeply that they're just so distracted that they're already zombified. Now, you will get a few of them that jump from that black stage into the gray stage. Now, the gray stage of enlightenment is half light and half dark. There's a growing number of people that are in this right now. This is the biggest part of the Great Awakening process, is people actually becoming aware and understanding what's going on and taking the necessary processes to work on themselves, to understand the process, to grow, to become enlightened, to become awakened beings and raise the consciousness of the planet, raise their own vibration and frequency. And then you have at the top, you have the light area. And that's going to be people like you, probably a lot of your listeners. And that's not to be said in any type of egotistical, because this is a very in the light, or when you understand and you are aware and you are awakened or you are enlightened to a certain degree, you become a very humble person and you become a person with no judgment and a person that sends love and blessings to everybody. Even if you think that they're an evil person, you know, true enlightenment, there is no evil. You're always in a state of love and peace and joy. And you're sending that to whoever, because you're giving them good energy and you're giving them good love. And hopefully they'll change or they'll vibrate at a higher frequency. And the group of people that are at the top are here for a purpose, and they know they're here for a purpose, or they are waking up to realize they're here for a purpose. It's our job to teach and be the wise ones that are guiding everybody else from the lower dimensional frequencies into the higher dimensional frequencies. So I only see really good things happening this year. Well, so you can look at it as a negative thing, or you can look at it as a positive. It's all in your perception. This is nothing more than a Truman Show that we're living in right now. It's a movie. You're just a person walking around in a movie of everything being engineered all around you, from the agricultural system to the political system to the, you know, everything has been engineered to take you outside of yourself. So I see really good things happening of people becoming aware and people becoming awake. And you're starting to already see, you know, some of the evil things start to falter and fall down. But the thing is, you just have to live through it. You have to be ready and understand that pain and trauma and suffering is actually a good thing, and it's needed to transform to the next level of enlightenment and awareness. So don't think that you're going through pain or trauma or suffering, or you're having all these issues and you're in a state of fear and anxiety and stress. Just flip it around and say, this is what I'm doing. I'm going through to grow, to transform to a better person, a better being, a better soul that can help other people make that transition as well into the future. So I'm just trying to let you guys know what we've discovered in our research team and how it all fits together and the links between everything, between the parasites, the venoms, the EMFs, the nanotech, the lipid nanoparticle technology, the plasmids, the inorganic minerals that everybody's consuming, the metals, which are very important for them to use. And really, when it comes down to, I mean, we could go into each one of those, but in reality, to talk about the good of everything, So let's just say there, you know, what we've uncovered, it's like a wheel, right? You have the hub in the middle and you have a bunch of spokes around the outside. The spokes that they're using, they're very, very sophisticated. Their scientists are very sophisticated in what they've pieced together. The spokes along the outside of the wheel are fear, parasites, bioweapons, venoms, electronic, magnetic warfare through EMFs, the nanotech, the plasmids, the lipid nanoparticles, the polymers and plastics, which a lot of people aren't talking about, but we're finding microplastics in everybody. You know, I don't know if you guys saw that study that came out a couple weeks ago where they tested bottled water, artesian water, spring water that was in plastic bottles, and they found anywhere between 200,000 and 240,000 microplastics in each bottle. Humanity right now is eating the equivalent of a credit card in plastics a week. And these plastics and polymers are necessary for their microsystems to work inside the body. So they're using and contaminating us with multiple different types of plastics. They're using inorganic minerals. So what are inorganic minerals? So the inorganic minerals are actually classified as metals. Inorganic minerals are all the synthetic vitamin supplements out there, any the mineral that's in cooked food, microwave food, processed food, any type of drink that you drink outside of distilled water, even if water is filtered, it has inorganic minerals in it, water from streams and stuff like that. They've got us probably, if you took the standard American diet or even, you know, just a standard diet, most people are consuming about 90% every single day of the minerals they put in their body as inorganic minerals. Inorganic minerals are toxic to the body because they're classified as toxins, and your body just, people's bodies are so congested that they just really have a hard time breaking those inorganic minerals down. You can break them down in the stomach, for example, and in the liver, but most people's liver is not functioning above 15%. Most people are not producing hydrochloric acid in their stomach like they need to be because they're on colas and all kinds of other acidic compounds. So the inorganic minerals that they've contaminated with us are a huge deal. And same with the other metals like the aluminums and the bariums and the cadmiums and the selenium, the synthetic selenium, zinc, cadmium, quantum dots. And so they really need your body full of all these inorganic metals and minerals to be able to control everything with the type of nanotech. And then you have the chemicals and the synthetic biology. And then you have also the sugar and the alcohol and the gluten that are attacking the body, mind, and soul. And so those are really kind of the main things that we've identified that we're recommending people, you know, clean. It's really about cleansing and detox and getting all that stuff out of the system as best as you can. And we can probably talk about that in the next hour if you want to.
Yeah, we're at the top of the hour now. So can you quickly tell folks where they can find you and your work? We're going to prep up for hour two here in a moment.
Yeah. So again, you can find me on YouTube, but that's the censored version of me. You can find me on Telegram at Dr. Group Official, which is a really good place where we post a lot of the solutions and what's currently going on with the current events. And then you can, if you're looking for some really high quality supplements, you can find those at Global Healing. And then if you're interested in learning or becoming a certified natural health coach or taking courses on any of the things we talk about, you can go to globalhealinginstitute.org, and we have multiple courses over there that you can educate yourself with. It's all about education.
All right, we're going to take a short break and prep up for hour two, but I'm going to leave everybody with this idea. Most people who follow us here kind of get how I do it. The world becomes very complex, and in the era that we exist, so complex that it seems almost impossible to get your arms around it, to get your mind around it. What I do is I simplify, and I keep simplifying until I can deal with it. And what I have noticed is the people who have done the most poorly in what's just happened to us were reactive. And to put that into context, animals are reactive. When you walk out into a field and you see a deer, how does the deer live his life? He's reactive. He hears a stick break, he runs, something happens, he reacts. There's very little time where he is being creative or initiating what's going to be in his day. The majority of it is reactive. That's an animal mindset. Human beings don't have to live in a reactive mindset. And when you hear statistics like 78% of us or maybe 80% of us are on pharmaceutical drugs, you're looking at people who have chosen to live a reactive life. They've been told or cued to think things and then made decisions in reaction based on what they were confronted with. And I think this is an important idea to think about, because if you become creative, the story, the film that we are all acting in becomes less someone else's planning and more your planning. But Jason, anything you want to add before I wrap up hour one of 569?
Well, in hour two, Dr. Group, I know the big question about the snake venom thing was, how are they putting it in the water? Wouldn't it just get diluted? So when we come back, could you address that?
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's it for hour one of 569. Hour one is free to everybody at crow777radio.com. That is crow777radio.com. Members know to log in for the full episode. Members get access to all forums. They can create forums. They get access to all comments section, and they can view the two-hour film called Shoot the Moon anytime they want. That film covers all my telescopic and camera work for a little over half a decade. It's got 10 awards in the world now, and we're going to prep up for hour two. So I hope to see everybody logged in as a member for hour two. With that, I'd like to wish you all a happy, healthy, and higher-minded new era. We'll be back shortly. Cheers.
Belief is the enemy of knowing.